This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 707 Monday, the 22nd of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with the one and only Philip C. And I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Crystal Tan. She's an economist with ANZ Bank for an outlook on the Indonesian economy and the recently tabled federal budget. But in the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed last Friday.
Ooh, it ended all down in the US. The Dow was down 0.9%, S&P 500 down 1.3%, and the Nasdaq down 2%. Over across in Asia, with the exception of Hang Seng, which was up 0.05%, everyone also was in negative territory. Nikkei was flat, slightly down 0.04%, Shanghai Composite down 0.6%, and both Singapore's STI and FBM KLCI down 0.8%.
So for some thoughts on international markets, we have on the line with us Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist at ACY Securities. Good morning, Clifford. Now, like we said, U.S. equities, they did dip slightly last week. But at the same time, the S&P 500 is up nearly 7% in last month. Does this indicate that fears of recession have been overblown and equity bulls are back in town?
Good morning. Wonderful to be on your show again. I think it could be a little bit trickier than that, in that I do believe the market has probably got ahead of itself in believing, if you like, being more hopeful about Federal Reserve slowdown and raising interest rates, or that the worst of the US recession is behind us, remembering that only employment has stayed strong. We've seen some indications of some bounce, for instance, in the services PMI, but that services PMI still remains at crisis levels, really, certainly rolling over in general trend terms. So I think what's happened is, rather than fears of recession, I think there's been too much hope that a recession will lead the Federal Reserve to stop raising interest rates. But of course they won't, because inflation is still at extreme levels. And I think people have to understand that the Federal Reserve interest rate settings at the moment are still stimulatory settings. In other words, they are fueling inflation. They haven't even begun to bite inflation. So the Fed has a lot higher to go.
So basically, I think markets are driven by this kind of wrongly misplaced hopes, and I think the fears haven't yet materialized. When do you expect this correction to inevitably take place there?
Well, I don't want to be alarmist on your show, but on Friday...
Clifford. Tell us the truth.
On Friday, I did put out a warning to clients that it could have been a Black Friday setup. And we certainly saw downside, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it could be. But what was worrying is we saw significant US dollar strength as well. And that suggests that a kind of party is overfeeling about hopes of things stabilizing, and perhaps there are still serious concerns going forward. I actually think that move down on Friday was the first step in a fresh, sustained trend to the downside. So I'm seeing equity markets again being extremely vulnerable to a broad-based deleveraging phase now, as people realize they had become a little bit hopeful about the Fed slowing down. And also remember that economies and the stock market aren't only driven by interest rates. And the real problems in the economy of the US is very much about inflation eating away at the foundations of that economy. And that is a very long-term process that really will decay future earnings prospects for US corporations.
But Clifford, were you comforted somewhat by the recent US corporate results season, which showed that most companies actually met or even beat street expectations?
Yes, no, but that, I agree. It's heartening to an extent, but it's to be expected, because boards of directors always understate what their true feelings are on what the company will do going forward, so that they have better than expected results. So you have to take that into account. But also, earnings were fattened by profit margin fattening. So inflation originally was supply chain disruption, but then it was corporations fattening their profit margins, because for the first time in 20 years, they could do that without losing market share, using COVID as the cover story. So that's why we saw inflation and earnings both streak higher at the same time. I now think that profit fattening is running out of steam, and true inflation is beginning to crimp the US consumer, crimp US businesses, and therefore I think we see worse economic growth numbers going forward for the US.
And I guess profit margins could crimp, especially as labor costs go high, because, you know, for the first time in Australian history, there are more job vacancies than people looking for employment. You know, is this a symbol of an economy that is going from strength to strength? Or are we, as you know, we've always talked about this really odd recession where we have weak economic growth, but actually employment remains robust and resilient?
Yes, I mean, a lot of people have been looking for the idea that the US is in a technical recession because employment is strong, that the Australian economy is strong because employment is strong. But for instance, in the Australian economy, that strong or that low unemployment number, all that currently is an indicator of, it's not an indicator of economic well-being at all, it's an indicator of the loss of immigration to Australia, the loss of temporary work visas available for people travelling, particularly younger backpacker travellers through Australia to the hospitality industry and the agricultural industry. That's pretty much all evaporated and it hasn't bounced back. So it's these jobs have very high salaries now. I don't know if you know, but in Australia recently, some restaurants are offering a $5,000 sign-on for dishwashers and floor staff.
Wow.
They're that short of staff, yes. So that number only reflects that we have a shortage of workers. It does not reflect at all that the economy is strong. And I think that's the Achilles heel of many of those sort of more hopeful commentaries out there.
So if people are willing to pay $5,000 for a dishwasher to sign up, is inflation then going to be a problem in Australia? And what does this then mean for the Reserve Bank? Are they going to put a pause in terms of the rate hikes, or are they just going to have to no choice but be more aggressive on that front?
Yeah, the Reserve Bank tends to follow the playbook of the Federal Reserve, unfortunately. So they will have a desire to keep raising interest rates as the Fed is. But also it's about that inflation number now is at 6.1%. And, you know, our central bank, like the Fed, was saying inflation would be transitory. And then the RBA was saying that inflation wouldn't come to Australia the way it is around the rest of the world. And now they've seen all of those forecasts to be wrong. And they're playing catch-ups. They're playing very late catch-up to inflation. And the current interest rate setting in Australia are even more stimulatory to the economy than in the US. So, you know, we are really fueling inflation at these interest rate levels. And therefore, people should not underestimate just how high interest rates in Australia may go. The cash rate may well go to 3.5%, 4.5% here before the Reserve Bank is done hiking rates.
You know, Cliff, I want to get your perspective on oil, especially, right? Because oil has seen some correction, but natural gas prices really have reached stratospheric levels, I think 14-year highs. You know, how serious will this impact be on Europe's manufacturing sector and perhaps globally as well, right? Especially this coming winter.
Yeah, I think, good question. I think it's the most telling point in the global economy, particularly for Western economies at the moment. I think that Europe is going to have a deep energy recession. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's going to be a very ugly affair and it's going to be drawn out. Those stratospheric natural gas prices can go even higher. They might go into orbit, actually. So I don't think we've seen the end of those price hikes. I think you're going to see increasing rationing of energy across Europe, and that is hardly going to encourage the consumer that they should be going out there and spending wildly. And it's not going to encourage businesses to, you know, seek to expand market share at the moment. Everyone is going to begin to play, sorry for the reference, defense in Europe. And that is going to again crimp the economy there on top of the inflationary pressures.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist at ACY Securities, telling us that we are nowhere near peak inflation, that the Feds are still going to have to raise rates. And even though market has somewhat believed that it's over, doesn't seem to be the case. And we might be heading for, I guess, correction.
And I think it's very interesting, right? Now I'm hearing this talk that, you know, we don't say this overarching recession, but recession in specific parts of the economy. So like Clifford was saying just now, an energy recession. Even Cathy Woods last time saying this was an inventory recession, right? So this is where I think it's where it's so challenging. We're seeing really large swaths of the economy, large chunks of the supply chain. They are experiencing recessionary tones. Mm. But the key indicator for us, which is employment, is hardly far from that. 500,000 vacancies in the United States.
Yeah, and on top of it, like in Australia, a sign-up bonus for a dishwasher.
5,000! I wonder whether they'll do that in Malaysia soon, because, you know, we've heard so many conversations.
The owners themselves would be washing the dishes.
Sign me up for 5,000 yeah. bonus if you give me that.
I don't think so, but it is reflective of what's happening out there.
Yeah.
Here, of course, we are feeling the pinch when it comes to human resource issues, right? But maybe, I don't know, I keep coming back to this, whether we are using this time as a country to perhaps look at our employment models, right? And to move away from this, using cheap labor as a means to grow our economy. And this should be a much harder look at ourselves as to whether we need to be far more productive, more bang for our buck.
Yeah, I think the big issue here is that the reality is our economy hasn't moved fast enough.
No.
And it's right, there's so much talk about foreign labor. That's why there was so much outcry when, yes. you know, there was a restriction of foreign labor.
And I agree, there are some industries where we really do need foreign labor. Like example, construction, plantation, it's very hard to get locals to do the work. But even within those sectors, let's say in construction, should we consider more integrated building services, for example? Should we use more automation? Should we consider new technology? These are the things that we should force ourselves to consider more seriously, rather than just trying to go back to the old model that we used to have before COVID. Up next, we'll be speaking to Meenal Patel Davis, Director for the Houston Mayor Office of Human Trafficking and Domestic Violence, on our human trafficking issues here in this country. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.